This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. A couple of months ago, we came out with the latest set of results from our Marketplace Edison Research Economic Poll. Lots of good things in there, not least of which was finding out that 59% of Americans would find it somewhat or very difficult to come up with the cash to meet an unexpected expense of $1,000. Unbeknownst to us, the Federal Reserve has been asking a similar question in its public polling, whether people could come up with $400 if they had to. Short answer is no. Neil Gabler is one of those people. He's a writer, a good one too, published and everything, makes his living at it. He has written about his and this country's financial precariousness in the new issue of The Atlantic magazine. Neil, it's good to have you on.
Very nice to be here. Thank you.
You get right to it in this piece. You couldn't come up with $400 if you had to.
That is true. And I knew that about myself. The surprise for me was that I was not alone. I discovered when I looked at some data, the Federal Reserve study of household income, that 47% of the American people could not come up with $400. And I thought perhaps there would be some solace to other people out there to know that they were not alone.
Well, you point out early in this piece that you are more likely to, one is more likely to know that a buddy is taking Viagra than to know that he has credit card problems.
Well, I coined the term for this piece, financial impotence.
Yeah, I love that one. It was a little painful to read, but it was great, you know.
Yeah. Well, it struck me that that's exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about something that is so shameful that people will not share it with even their closest friends or even with their family.
So let's take one American. You write about your choices, I guess, right? And how you wound up where you are, a man of a certain age with grown daughters who has nothing in the bank. What happened?
You're right, Kai. It was painful. It was painful to live it.
Yeah.
But what happened to me was life. You know, I made choices, as I think we all do. I mean, choices to live in New York City, which is an expensive place. Choices to become a writer. A choice to, you know, get married, to have children, to send those children to private school because I didn't think that the public school was adequate. Mm. And, you know, the choices go on and on and on. Yeah. But these are the choices we all make. But when we sort of reflect on our lives, we say if we hadn't made those choices, maybe we wouldn't be in the place we are financially, which is not a particularly good place, but we wouldn't be who we are. Hmm. So there's a kind of metaphysical component to this financial disaster and financial impotence.
Yeah, one of the things you talk about, actually, is that to look at you, to pass you on the street, a person would never know that you were having these kinds of problems. And in fact, before we turn on the microphones, I complimented you on a biography of Walt Disney that you wrote a number of years ago. And when I read this article and put two and two together, I was like, no way. Come on, that guy who wrote that cool book is right. It sort of doesn't add up.
Well, you look at me and you're absolutely right. You would say there is no way that this guy would have financial difficulty. And even, to be perfectly honest, if you looked at my 1040, you wouldn't say that this guy should be having financial difficulty, but that's precisely the point. Financial impotence doesn't strike simply the poor, who by definition, you know, have a difficult time making ends meet. It strikes the middle class especially hard, the upper middle class, and even the very upper reaches. Because there's a very basic formula at work here. You know, too little money in income, too great expenses.
There are a couple of things that you point to as proximate causes. One is, and there's a whole bunch of factors, obviously, but one is the easy availability of credit in this economy at a time of stagnating wages and the struggle to keep up.
That is what economists talk about when they try and focus on, to the extent that they do, why people cannot make ends meet. And part of it is that credit was easy. And when credit is easy, and incomes are stagnant, which is the situation that we've been in for quite a few decades in this country, not just years, but decades in this country, what people do is they will borrow to meet the gap between their income and their expenses. I did that, although that was not the primary reason I was underwater, but I think it is a major reason why so many other Americans are underwater.
You are yourself on the way to financial repair, right?
I wouldn't say that.
Hmm.
I wouldn't say that at all. What I would say is that I'm on the way toward trying to pay down whatever debt I have. And the way I conclude this piece is, you know, I talk about a Bruce Eric Kaplan cartoon where, you know, we thought it was just a rough patch. It turned out to be our life. Hmm. And I say, you know, that may very well be the truth for a great many Americans, myself included. So I'm not certain that this is a story, my own personal story or the national story, has a particularly happy ending.
Neil Gabler's piece in The Atlantic is called The Secret Shame of Middle-Class Americans. There's a link to it on our website. There is also information on our Economic Anxiety Index and what we had to say, or what we found, rather, when we asked people about the ability to meet an unexpected expense. Neil, thanks very much for your time. Interesting piece.
Thank you so very much.